I wish you a wonderful good morning. Nice to have you with us again, and also when you're on your live stream, welcome, and let us start this day with a prayer. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this wonderful morning. We thank you for the privilege that we have to come into your presence. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here, and I ask that you show us, help us, lead us that way to the place where you show us your heart and what's on your heart today. Amen. This morning we want to look at a passage that is really on my heart. I was reading and listening to 1 Samuel, the last days, and I'm so fascinated again by the story of David. And I want to invite you to open your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 16. David is called a man after God's own heart, and God himself said that. And in this chapter and also in the following, we learn so much about spiritual truth, so much about spiritual fights, so much about God's heart and how God's nature is, how he thinks and feels. And this is so important for us to understand. And I want to start with 1 Samuel chapter 16, the verses 6 and 7. Here the prophet Samuel is sent to the house of Isai, of Jesse. And God told Samuel before that one of his sons, he will be the new king. And now he's very interested and he's looking forward to see the guys. And he thinks immediately the first guy that he sees, he's big, he's strong, he's handsome, he's intelligent, the perfect king. But God has another opinion. And in verse 6 it says, when they arrived, all the sons, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. I repeat the last part. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And it's so precious and important that we learn that. And I see here in that passage that the criteria for how and whom God will choose are not the criteria that oftentimes we have. I don't know. Imagine you would be God. Would you choose yourself? I think David was never expecting that. He's enjoying having time with God and his sheep, his friends, on the field. And he's not expecting at all that he is this day anointed to be the king of Israel. And we see that beautiful attitude of humility in his heart. We see in the whole story that David is one of the least, he's the least son of his father. So his father's not very interested, because when the prophet saw all the brothers, he said, oh, the one I'm looking for is not here already. And then he asks the father, do you have another son? And then the father thinks, oh yes, I have another son. Okay, yeah, but he's the youngest. I don't really care about him. He's not really helpful here, so I sent him to be on the field. And he grows up, and also in the passage that we see in a few seconds, he's not accepted by his brothers. So he grows up in a circumstance where he's not feeling valuable and worthy and able to be the king and to be something special. And this is so important and precious for God, that God chooses him. He's not looking for the handsome. He's not looking for the able. He's not looking for the people that think they are strong. But so often we are sad because we do not feel strong. And it shows oftentimes we did not understand. We have not yet understood how God thinks and what God looks for in us. It's not that I come to a place, to a point in my life where I feel able, where I finally won all my battles, where I finally have so much discipline and emotional strength to never get impatient and never get angry. That's not the goal. The goal is not that I feel perfect, but God is looking for somebody who has a humble heart. And humility is such a precious attitude. That's one of the reasons why I chose my wife, because she's a humble person. And I love humble people. They have that precious aroma with them. You love to talk to them because you're never judged. You're never criticized. Sometimes you're shown that you have a wrong idea. But they never bring it over with a hardness in their heart. And this attitude he learned, I guess, in the presence of God. We are not told directly, but I guess we read that David, that he played psalms, he played for God, he prayed when he was on the fields. So he was prepared for the big fight on the fields. And sometimes we tend that we do not value and honor those times in our lives where God prepares us. We think it's a waste of time, especially when we are young, when we are not married yet, when we do not have a job to do. We are still in preparation. We just do our training. And sometimes we think that is a waste of time. The day when I get my first money, the day when I get married, the day when I get my first job, then life starts. But that is very, very stupid. Because we see here in David's story that he is prepared, he is trained. And I imagine that he gets a revelation of God's grace. Because he feels valuable when he has nothing. And sometimes we make the mistake then that we think we are not valuable because we have nothing. Nobody is thinking, giving me responsibility. Nobody is thinking high of me. And so I also do not think high of me. But that's a big mistake. And that's the time where I can maybe understand God's grace the best and the most, when I have nothing. Because God's grace is for you when you have nothing. Because God did not choose you because you were so great and important and intelligent and handsome and pretty. No, God chose you because he loves you. And that's what we need to understand about the gospel. It is grace. And if I tend to think I am not valuable because I have nothing, because I cannot do great things, I have not understood grace, because grace is there for the weak. And David saw it every day with his sheep. Because sheep, they are not too valuable. Okay, they maybe cost $50, I don't know. But they have not a great price. But he is fighting for them. And later on, he is telling the king Saul how he got prepared. And he said, when I was with my sheep on the fields, I protected them. When there came a lion, I fought against him. When a bear stole a sheep of mine, I was running after him and getting it back. And David learned that little things are so precious. Sheep are so precious for David. In the same way, you and I, we are so precious for God. And David learned that lesson, that you realized some little things that are maybe in my own eyes are so, so little. They are so precious for God. And that attitude of humility is very precious to God. And it's one criteria that shows, are you ready that God uses you? Or maybe if you still need some training. And then the next passage in chapter 17, we come now to the interesting part of the story where the fight against Goliath slowly begins. And this passage begins that the father sends David to the battlefield. So it's not his own idea, but his father sends him, and he's obedient to bring some food to the soldiers. And then we read in 17:23, that David sees Goliath and hears what he's talking about. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. For 40 days, Goliath was mocking the people of Israel and mocking God. And whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage, and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel." David asked the man standing near to him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the next verses, David asked the same questions for three times. The same question for three times. And we see he has not a problem with his IQ. He has not a problem with understanding, but he has with understanding God. He has a problem with understanding why is nobody fighting against Goliath. And it's so, I never realized, why did David ask three times? It's such a simple information. If you will kill him and fight against him, you will get two things. You can marry his daughter, and you will get allowance that your family has not to pay taxes. It's very simple. We all know that. But David does not understand, why is nobody doing the job? And why is the price so high? He probably thought, why do I get the highest price when I just do the normal work? And the normal work for soldiers is to fight against the enemies of God, and especially somebody who mocks God. In those days, it was the clear command to fight against them. But nobody has the courage. And David asks himself, why such a high price? Why such a high honor for the guy who does the things that should be normal? That shows us so much that David has the precious attitude in his heart, that he is not only humble, but he is courageous. He's humble, but also courageous. And sometimes we have such a strange and mixed up understanding about humility. We think somebody who's humble, he walks around like this and thinks, "I'm not worthy to do anything, I cannot do anything, so thank you that I am allowed to be here." That has nothing to do with the precious humility that we see in the Bible. Understanding, I need God, and I'm not worthy, but I am with God, I am able. And that's so, so precious. And in the German language, we also have the word humility and courage. They're nearly the same. It says for humility, Demut, and courage is Mut. So they stick so much together. But in our human understanding, they are oftentimes opposites. But it's so precious and wonderful if we realize that they are attached to one another. And we see in the last passage, in verse 28, when Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with a man, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." And David said, "Now, what have I done?" said David. "Can I even speak?" He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the man answered him as before. So for the third time he asks now, because he cannot understand, why do I get so much honor? Why are you so fearful? But it's so interesting how he treats his oldest brother, because his oldest brother has said, "You intended just to watch the game. I know you." And that's so evil, because it has nothing to do with the reality and truth in his heart. David's heart was pure before God. but not in the eyes of his brother. And it's so interesting how he answered him back. He said, now what have I done? So he knows I'm not guilty, and he does not make the mistake of taking shame on himself. Okay, yes, I know, it was evil, I'm sorry, I just go home again. No, he said, no, that's not true what you're saying. And he turns around, and he is going the next step to do something that God put on his heart. And it's so important that we have, on the one hand, have a hard heart against the lies of the enemy, because his brother is accusing him and has nothing to do with reality and with truth. He has such a hard heart against the fear and then the mockery that comes from Goliath. And in the same moment, he has such a precious, fleshly and soft heart to be so kind to his sheep, to be so kind to the people he's asking, he's talking to. We need so much. If we want to walk in love, we need both a hard heart against the lies and the accusation, the evil, and a soft heart for the weak, for the lost. And this is what God wants to do in our heart, that we do not fall over on one side, being just soft, allowing all the lies and allowing all the kindness and compassion in our heart. No, we need to be very strong against and hard against evil and against accusation, against fear, against lies. And we need to be so soft so that the Holy Spirit gives us that love for the lost, the love for the weak. And this is what I want to pray for this morning, that God shows us his heart, his nature, and that we do not do the same mistake as maybe in the circumstances we grew up, where we learned you need to be hard and strong, you need to be violent to be successful. No. God waits for you. And maybe God prepares you for something great that you did not even started or dared to dream about. But God prepared David. And I want to be a faithful student that I allow that the teacher, that he prepares me for the test, that he prepares me to move on into the next class. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your wonderful word. But it's also so clear. And oftentimes, we have so much pride in our hearts. So we have so much fear, so much shame in our hearts. But I thank you, God, that you gave us a new heart. In the new covenant, we have the promise that you renew us and transform us totally into the character and nature of Christ. And I pray, Holy Spirit, help us to be faithful in the place where you want to prepare us. And also to get it right and clear in our heart that humility and courage, they are so, so precious. And they can be in my heart. And that's at the same time. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your faithfulness to prepare us. Amen.